usually the private companies that run these private prisons. It's money-based. They don't really care about human rights. They don't really care about who's in there. They don't even care about their workers.
Whenever he left, it's like they took a piece away from me. And like just not hearing from him and not knowing if he was alive.
This is a modern-day concentration camp. This is what this is. Because there's people dying in there. There's people being starved.
The private prison industry is set for a historic boom with President Donald Trump launching his mass deportation.
Shares of GEO Group and CoreCivic rose more than 50% since the election.
I've worked at CoreCivic for 32 years, and this is truly one of the most exciting periods in my career with the company.
Meet CoreCivic and GEO Group, the two publicly traded companies that have come to dominate the private prison industry.
Private prison companies, mainly GEO Group and CoreCivic, are champing at the bit at their prospects for big profits in 2025.
It's no secret that corporate America values lining their shareholders' pockets over any other values. But what happens when the model of profit-seeking over all else gets wrapped up in an industry where the bottom line is dependent on millions of human bodies?
It's akin to modern-day slavery.
And the only people profiting from this are these private companies and the government.
We talked to former detainees, correctional officers, community advocates, and attorneys who are all speaking out about CoreCivic and GEO Group. Our journey took us from Kansas to Nashville to remote detention facilities in rural Louisiana to explore how these companies are taking advantage of this moment to line their shareholders' pockets. In the towns we went to, private prisons had come to define the local economy, almost like a factory town in the past era.
Contrary to factory towns, those factories were producing things, right? Producing cars, etc. Here, they're not producing anything. They're causing pain and they're causing destruction to families across the country.
What was attractive to you about the job opportunity?
Well, I'm just going to be very blunt about it. I needed a job. Up to that point, I had never even heard of for-profit prisons. I'm almost a little bit embarrassed to talk about that or to say that, but I didn't know. I just thought prisons were prisons. So I just needed a job, needed to work.
Bill Rogers worked as a correctional officer at a CoreCivic private detention facility.
My job was to house them in a safe manner. It's an impossibility. The way CoreCivic makes money, it's impossible to house inmates safely.
He told me that the company was always looking for cost-cutting measures, with staff accounting for 70% of its overhead.
If we're going to raise profits at that facility, if we cut staff, or I say cut staff, when they quit, we just don't replace them at the rate we should, we're making more money. We're generating more money. As I worked there longer and longer, it seemed to get worse. Looking back on it, I was very, very outspoken about safety, about the dangers of being short-staffed. I was stabbed. I had my head split open. I got bitten. A lot of times in violence, they lash out, whether it be at each other or staff.
Rogers lives in Leavenworth, Kansas, where CoreCivic is trying to reopen the facility that has been sitting empty for 4 years. It shut down in 2021 after a Biden administration executive order prevented federal agencies from renewing contracts with private criminal detention facilities. The place was plagued by allegations of violent and inhumane conditions, prompting one federal judge to label the prison an absolute hellhole. The city of Leavenworth is now suing CoreCivic, arguing it cannot reopen the prison without a permit from the city. Bill Rogers has been vocal about the issue.
CoreCivic did it because it was a profit. The more individuals I could jam into that cell, the more money I would make.
CoreCivic says reopening the prison will bring hundreds of jobs back to Leavenworth.
They're coming into Leavenworth to tell them how great it's going to be, you know? Everybody wants to talk about a dollar. I don't hear CoreCivic want to talk about the human lives. I don't want to hear them talk about the souls that they're going to touch, whether it be a detainee or a person that works there or a family member of a detainee or a family member, because you know what? My family was affected by what I went through. You don't think my wife dealt with it for 4 years when I come home and didn't talk to her certain nights? You don't think that put a strain on our marriage? You know, I reflect back on those 4.5 years and I start to see the moments when I should have realized more so that it was about profit.
And the profit at CoreCivic is going elsewhere.
CoreCivic CEO Damon Hininger is estimated to be worth over $20 million. In 2023, he got paid over 96 times the average CoreCivic employee. He works out of this office building right behind us in Brentwood, Tennessee.
The same profit motive affecting workers plays out even more starkly in the lives of detainees.
The conditions have always been terrible at the facilities, particularly when it comes to medical care. You essentially have to be in a severe, either chronic or severe pain or something that requires almost emergency care in order to really get treatment. And because these facilities are profit-oriented, they're for-profit private prisons, their goal is to minimize cost.
This treatment, the lack of language access, the lack of library access, the lack of attorney-client rooms, the lack of food, the lack of medical care, that is consistent and it's emblematic of this system.
In these places, human rights don't exist. You don't even exist as a human.
Edwin Garcia was held in the Gina, Louisiana Geo Group facility for 9 months and recently returned home to his family after almost 5 years apart. Edwin came to the U.S. with his parents from Mexico when he was 1 year old. He got DACA status when he was 15, but that changed when he was arrested for domestic assault, charges that were ultimately dropped.
September 8th of 2018. I was arrested for falsely accused of something I didn't do.
Still, a misdemeanor charge remained on his record.
I was leaving the court. I was shackled up, and when they walked me out of the door, ICE was there to pick me up.
That's when he was sent to the Geo Group prison.
What was it like being inside the Louisiana facility?
I just remember getting off the bus and then they crowded all 90 of us in a little pod. It's super cold. People are sleeping on the floor, sleeping where people use the bathroom because it's so crowded.
Edwin's story took many harrowing and tragic turns that led him to Mexico and back, ultimately ending up in a CoreCivic detention facility in Torrance, New Mexico, where he experienced similar poor conditions.
I remember walking in and the smell of like wet carpet, kind of like the humid smell. You got mold, it's hot because not even the AC's turned on in there. The food source wasn't fresh at all. It took them 4 days to get me hygiene stuff so I could take a shower. Five men, that probably the age of my father's age, between 45 and 55 years old, that wanted to commit suicide because they could not take it of being in these places and then being locked up and nobody would talk to them. Now that I speak English, very good English, they're like, you're not a regular immigrant. You're an advanced immigrant. That's what I was called, advanced immigrant.
Edwin is now seeking asylum and is back home in Tennessee.
She said she felt devastated, very, very sad. She felt like they would never see me again for everything that I went through being in Mexico. She said it was like the most terrible days of her life that she'd ever gone through as a mother.
What was it like when you saw your brother when come through the door, like that reunion?
Oh my gosh, I feel like a little girl. Like the last time I seen him, I ran into his arms and I said, please don't ever leave me again.
We wondered, how was all this even possible?
It's a question that I still ask myself to this day, and I guess power and money is what controls this country now.
The Trump administration wants you to think that their crackdown on illegal immigration is all about arresting people who have committed horrible crimes and getting them out of the country. But the fact is, many of the people being detained right now are people like Edwin. They haven't committed a crime, but were picked up anyway because Trump's executive orders and other policy statements have revoked many people's immigration status and given ICE very broad authority. The next stop in our investigation was Louisiana. First, we met with ACLU attorney Nora Ahmed. Ahmed and her team published a report in 2024 documenting human rights abuses and conditions in the state's prisons.
So 8 out of 9 of our facilities are for-profit prisons. States. We have 65,000 people that move through our immigration jails annually. We have about 7,000 people who are jailed here on a daily basis.
We're in rural Louisiana now, getting close to Bazille Prison. ICE wouldn't allow us to bring in cameras, but we are getting permission to go inside to meet with them.
This is an all-women's detention facility?
Yes, it is unique in that sense that, you know, there are no men at the facility. I mean, of course, there are transgender individuals at the facility, but by and large, it is intended to house women only.
And this is a facility that you wrote about in your report for the ACLU. Does it fit the pattern of human rights abuses?
It absolutely fits the pattern of human rights abuses and what many would characterize as cruel and unusual punishment.
We heard from these people that they're starving. They're only given a spoonful of beans and rice every day. Poor to limited access to medical care. They describe an environment with not enough staff, not enough toilet paper, no female hygiene products, limited access to outdoor time, to recreation time. One detainee told us that she works for $1 a day cleaning the facilities, and sometimes they don't even pay her. This is pretty wild stuff.
I think it's wild for people who don't go to immigration jails. I think this has been happening under everyone's noses in rural locations for years. And if now is the time for the American people to confront who this country is and who we are, then it's good that we're going to start to confront it. But none of this is new.
With all of this pain and suffering, it's hard to imagine that anyone other than these corporations are benefiting from private prisons. But some communities have shaped their local economies around private prisons. We went to meet Walter Dora, the president of the LaSalle Economic Development District, a government entity created by the state legislature in the late 80s. Walter had to sign off on GEO Group coming to the community in the first place.
In the mid-80s, the price of oil dropped significantly. We had economic difficulties in LaSalle Parish. As a result of that, a lot of jobs were lost, loss in population. People had to move away to find other work because they were dependent on oil and timber.
What type of economic benefits does the parish see?
GEO makes available up to 300 jobs for persons that work there. The jobs are good-paying jobs, as I appreciate it. Almost $1 million in property taxes. And of course, you also have to consider the ripple effect. All of that turns over and is an economic benefit to the community.
Do you think that it's a responsibility here to make sure that there are not any human rights abuses or people are being harmed in any way inside the facility?
Haven't really thought about it. If someone were being harmed, I'd certainly not be in favor of that.
Have you been inside recently at the GENA facility? Have you been inside GEO Group's facility?
6 or 8 months ago was the last time I was in there. I have no reason to be going there.
Less than 5 minutes from Walter's office is GEO Group's LaSalle detention facility. It's currently housing more than 1,100 detainees. Some of the people who've been held there you may have heard of. Mahmoud Khalil, a Columbia University student and Palestinian activist, and Badar Khansouri, a Georgetown postdoctoral fellow who was recently released. Additionally, Rumeza Ostrich, a Tufts University doctoral student, and Alireza Daroudi, a University of Alabama doctoral student, have also been held in Louisiana. Across the state, about 7,000 people are being detained under private prison deals. It's second only to Texas for detaining the most immigrant detainees in the entire country.
When we think about the operation of these jails, what folks in that community will say is, yeah, but there's good jobs. There's pension jobs. And it's not always clear that they understand that there are also alternatives, right? That if we invested in other types of industries and services that people might be able to, one, make a better living in a more safe environment.
The question is more, what comes next? If these places get shut down, if we stop operating in this way, what is the economic engine in these areas, right? What gets invested? Where does that investment come from? And what does it look like?
As our journey through the private prison industry came to a close, there was only one location we left out, Washington, D.C. GEO Group and CoreCivic collectively donated at least $1.5 million to Donald Trump's re-election campaign and inaugural committee, with lots of individual donations by both companies' top brass. In 2025, the federal government has $2.9 billion in contracts with GEO Group and its subsidiaries. That's double the amount in 2024. CoreCivic has $3.6 billion in obligations, astronomically higher than any previous year. And President Trump's Attorney General Pam Bondi lobbied for GEO Group. With so many conflicts of interest and so much money involved, standing up to these corporations is incredibly daunting. Lawyers for CoreCivic sent Bill Rogers this letter, threatening legal action to try and stop him from speaking out. And the Leavenworth facility might be able to reopen in the end. Even elected officials seem powerless, like the mayor of Newark, New Jersey, who was arrested protesting the opening of a GEO Group facility.
They made a decision to arrest me. They made a decision to violate me. They made a decision to humiliate me.
But despite the odds, people are still fighting back. A bill is making its way through the state legislature in New Jersey that would make it easier for state and local law enforcement to resist cooperating with federal immigration authorities. And Edwin, even after all that he's been through, still finds space for optimism.
Being home with your family now, them seeing you for the first time in all these years, what's that been like?
We're working through it, but there was a lot of hate at the beginning, for sure. There was a lot of hate in my family towards this country, towards the government, towards ICE, towards certain people. I kind of always told them it's not good to have hate in your heart. You know, we talk about forgiveness all the time. Being religious and following God's footsteps, I think sometimes, you know, hard things come to see how strong your faith is.
These institutions belong to us. They are our jails. They are our prisons. They are our detention centers. And what happens in them is done in our name.
We're going to keep tracking CoreCivic, GEO Group, and other private companies that are profiting off of the current moment. If you have any stories to share, especially if you've worked at one of these corporations or otherwise been directly affected by them, please reach out at stories@perfectunion.us.